Recently, we began a new calendar year and also a new year in our practice of stewardship in this parish. In fact, we recently mailed out little letters to show you what you signed up for. We've gotten a lot of angry calls because of those, but I assure you none of us have kicked you out of ministries or anything, just to verify what you signed up for. When you hear that word stewardship, what do you tend to think of first? Many people here think of money, which is wrong. They think of a way to fund a school, which is only part of it. Some people think that stewardship is for our families that have kids in school. But if we truly understand the nature of stewardship, it's not simply a practice that a parish in Wichita, Kansas has, or a parish with a school has. Jesus refers to stewardship in the New Testament many, many times. Why? Because it's a way of living. It's part of being Christian. And in our first reading in particular today, that character of Christian service, of stewardship, comes out and is fleshed out for us. One of the things I found quite striking about this first reading is that it says that God wants to show his glory through us. Think about the glory of God for a second. Let's say you go to heaven and you see God and you see all his heavenly angels and the light of heaven. You know, reading the book of Revelation might give you an idea of what this might look like. Or go on to Google and see, you know, Revelation heaven. Search that and see what the images are. And there's people who have painted what they think, you know, heaven might look like based on this book of Revelation. Glorious, full of splendor, awe, something that makes you almost want to hide your eyes. And that's what God wants to show the world through you. The glory of God shining through you. It says in our first reading also, you are to be a light to the nations. You've heard that term before, but imagine more like a lighthouse out on a stormy coast. And to your coworkers and to your family and your friends, they're that ship out on the sea. And you're that lighthouse guiding them in safely. That's what God wants to do through you. On Christmas Day, I gathered with my family over at my parents' house, and I have a sister who's 11 months younger than me, and we were close growing up, and then in high school, when girls go crazy, we stopped being close, and then we got close again in college. And I remember her daughter, Grace, who's her oldest, has Down syndrome, and so she's about 8 years old, and she doesn't quite understand things all the time, the right and the wrong. She does know the difference between right and wrong, but sometimes she doesn't quite get it. And she went in to play with her nieces in the dining room to color. And she went around to each of the other girls at the table stealing all their colors, you know. And the other girls got really upset with her, you know. And they got mad at her and started screaming, "Grace, Grace!" And then she got upset because she knew she was in trouble. She knew she'd done something wrong, but she didn't quite understand what it was. And so she went running to her mom. And I remember my sister was standing there getting herself a cup of coffee. She looked so tired, as moms often do. And her little girl runs up to her and just holds on to her legs. And I remember my sister knelt down to her level and gave her a hug and just held her while she cried. And she said, I was standing there kind of watching, and she says, she just doesn't understand. That moment stuck with me for like the next 3 weeks after Christmas, and I kept meditating on it. And I finally wrote her a letter, and I said, Patty, you spoke to me. God spoke to me in that moment. Those are the little ways in which the glory of God can shine through us to other people. Ways that we can be a light to the nations. And it happens in everyday life. For those of you who are moms with small children, That's exactly where the glory of God shines through. Another striking line in our first reading today is it says that he formed you as a servant from the womb. Now, when I first read this, it brought to mind for me Psalm 139 that says, before you were in the womb, I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. This idea that God's been with us from the very beginning, giving shape to our life from the very beginning. But then I heard this line that says, he formed you as a servant from the womb. Meaning that perhaps what it means to be human, what it means to be a follower of God, is to be a servant. It's that much part of our being. It's not as if God came along later and said, okay, now you're my servant. But he formed you that way from your very birth. We are each made for service. And the sooner we realize that and start practicing it, the more fulfillment we will have out of life and out of our Christian faith. And we live in a world that says, what can I get, not what can I give? I remember for myself, I was dating a young woman in college and we were seriously considering marriage. And I was praying one night about that. It was kind of scary. And I was praying about it one night and I thought about the joy I had in serving her. Like I love to, you know, bring her lunch at work or open her car door or go get her car cleaned for her. You know, take her shopping, whatever it was. I love to serve. But it occurred to me one night as I was praying, will serving this woman for the rest of my life bring me fulfillment? And I was struck by the idea that no, it won't. And of course, I'm crying out to God, God, why? Seems like a good idea to me. And God really spoke to me in that moment and he said, because it's not enough. Not like it's not good enough, but it's not enough for me. For me, I needed to serve more people. I needed to love more people, and I finally found that fulfillment in the priesthood. But each of us in our vocations, no matter what it is, as a single person, as a retired person, as a widow, as a young person, as a little kid, your life as a Christian is defined and given fulfillment through service. Lastly, in our first reading, it says that not only do we show the glory of God when we are a servant for Him, but in doing so, we are made glorious, it says. I looked up this word glorious. It says, having a striking beauty or splendor that evokes feelings of delighted admiration. Is that how you feel about yourself? Because that's how God looks at you. He looks at you and says, how beautiful. It gives me feelings of delight. In fact, it is in Isaiah 62 that he calls you my delight. Our first reading goes on to say, it is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant. In other words, he wants to raise you up by being his servant to something glorious just like himself. Is this the way you feel about yourself? Now, we live in a world where it's very popular to have a lot of self-help books. We got a lot of preachers out there that call themselves Christians who are selling them, or selling a message of helping yourself, or feeling better about yourself. And there is some truth in that. But the feeling better about yourself, the recognition that you are something beautiful, that you evoke a feeling of delight in the Lord, comes from these two things given to us in our first reading today. to let his glory shine through you and to be a servant. Now, many of us say, well, that might seem like too much for me. I'm really okay where I'm at, Father Matt. I come to Mass and I feel pretty good about myself. But look at what's at stake if we don't let the glory of God shine through us. It says at the end of the first reading, I will make you a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So if we aren't letting the glory of God shine through us, if we aren't a light to the nations, then people don't receive salvation. You have the power, because God has given it to you by your baptism, to deny someone salvation because you don't let the glory of God shine through you. Seems weighty, doesn't it? Difficult. Maybe seems impossible, but it is actually quite simple. There are only two things you need to do to be a light to the nations, to let the glory of God shine through you so that you can bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And that is, number one, to be a true steward, a servant's heart. To reflect what David says in our psalm today, here I am, Lord, I have come to do your will, not mine, yours. And the second, to live like John the Baptist, in simplicity, and pointing to Jesus, saying, behold the Lamb of God. You are glorious to God. He has made you a light to the nations and to show his glory. Who or what does your life point people to?